Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Design in the Hills is an architecture conference that is held mostly out of doors. This year, professionals gathered in Rapid City and Lead to talk art and architecture, reclamation, and revitalization. Joining us today from our Rapid City studios are Christine Bjerke. She's a founding member of Design in the Hills and a principal architect with Architecture Incorporated. Christine Bjerke, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be here.
We also have with us Patri Acevedo. She's a principal of ACV2 Architecture and vice president of AIA South Dakota. AIA stands for American Institute of Architects. Patri, did I get all of that right?
You did.
Close enough?
Yep, good job.
I'm pronouncing. How about Bjerke? Did I get that right?
Oh, perfect. I was impressed.
We're on a roll. We're on a roll. Jean Fennell is the principal and founder of Fennell Design in Custer and the president of AIA South Dakota. Jean, welcome as well.
Thank you, and you got the last name correct.
Perfect. That makes me feel good. It's going to be a great show when we start out like that. Let's talk about out of doors and what makes an architecture conference outside sort of unique. Christine, do you want to start with that?
Sure, and it is architecture, and when we do a project, we always lead a team of very talented design professionals. And Design in the Hills was conceived as a way to get out, collaborate, invite other design professionals, and just look at the great projects around the Black Hills, because we really have a high concentration of really talented people, architects, interior designers, landscape architects, engineers, and we always incorporate one of the visual arts that would be public art. A good example is Dale Amphir. One of our tours on this year's program was Dale Amphir's Dignity sculpture, which is a 50-foot high stainless steel sculpture, and he's doing it clear out on the ranch of his head welder. And so we take a bus out there and we take all these people and we get to see it under construction, and then we got a great presentation because he has to collaborate with a structural engineer and a landscape architect, because this will ultimately go on the Chamberlain Rest area site, and so it involves all these professionals, and that's what we try to do.
So it's a celebration of the amazing amount of design that we have in the Black Hills, and it's also sort of covertly Chris trying to not have us do death by PowerPoint as we had to do continuing education units. Because what we do is so in practice, for us to be able to be outside and be able to like really get into it instead of really looking at slideshows, like it's a big deal.
So
and it really, sorry.
Patri, when you go out and you see something like what Dale Lamphere is doing with the sculpture, it's in progress. How do you sort of approach that as an architect when you look at it? An artist would look at it one way. Somebody who goes to the rest stop eventually is going to look at it one way. How does an architect look at something like that?
Well, having Dale as part of the program actually came out of like sitting down with a structural engineer and me asking him like, so what's the craziest thing you're working on? And he's sort of walking us through, and when he breaks it down, and it's the same way I think that all architects look at things, like no two projects are exactly the same. So every time that we look at a new project like that, we're sort of trying to break it down into things that are common, things that are like known to us. So in that case, actually, the structure was pretty similar to anything you would see in a regular steel structure. It was just done in a different way. And that's really the innovation of how we're collaborating together, and where you're bringing a sculptor and a structural engineer and a landscape architect. Like, everybody has to speak the same language. Everybody ultimately has the same goal, too, right? To have a pretty beautiful sculpture that celebrates the dignity and that it doesn't fall down or blow away.
And the sense of place. Yeah. That is created within all of these elements.
So, Jean, describe dignity and what it. I have an awareness of it, but many people don't know. What is the Chamberlain Dignity sculpture going to look like?
In its simplest form, it's a likeness of a Native American woman looking to the south and the east, standing on a knoll overlooking the river at Chamberlain, with a star quilt behind her, as if she's actually putting the quilt on. And there's an animatronic component to that, in that portions of the quilt are little diamondoids, if you will, that are on little rocker arms, so that the wind will blow against them and they'll flutter, much like the aspen leaves in the fall. And her back will be to the interstate, which really is an intriguing thing, because then it's a real invitation to the travelers that, what is this? And they don't really get an appreciation for it. They have to leave the interstate and go see it.
So this is a 50-foot statue of a woman holding a huge quilt by the river, which means that you're essentially putting a big flagpole out there. I mean, structurally wise, you're retaining the wind. So it's this entire, you know, it sort of turns on its head what a sculpture is, because all of a sudden you have to deal with the structure of all of it as well.
And the shapes and the form of it to form the actual human form are flat plates of stainless steel that are bent and twisted, and you can only bend steel one way. It won't bend two ways, so you can't do curvature in the normal way that you would with a model. So it's flat plates that are configured to form that human figure.
It sounds like you're pushing the possible, like he's doing something that takes a lot of imagination and a lot of
very innovative
chops to bring it up, to bring it off in the end.
Yeah, very innovative and collaborative. Again, the three art forms within this, engineering, sculpture, and the site and the placement of that.
That's a microcosm for what you do overall in other places, isn't it, in a way, Gene?
That is. That's what we're all about, is leading that design team. As architects, we're looked to by owners and potential owners of how, you know, what best serves their needs and how do we get there. And we form teams to get them where they need to be.
Now, Gene, you're from Custer. I spend a lot of time out there. When I first came to Custer and some of the communities like Hill City and Deadwood and looked around, I noticed the architecture there being very different from what I was used to. I would call it eclectic and sometimes surprising and sometimes really wonderful, sometimes quirky. That was my uneducated impression when I first came to the town. How would you describe the architecture in your home?
In our hometown, eclectic is a good way of putting it, but it's got a Western feel to it, too. You see a lot of elements of heavy timbers and log and that sort of thing, working with the stone that's natural to the environment there. Trying to really work such that buildings grow out of the earth. We've got this beautiful God-made sculpture of the needles and the hills, and all we can do is reference that. We can't improve on it. So,
do you do that every time you create something new out there? Consider that unique landscape?
We would like to.
Usually it's driven by the client.
Sure.
You know, and the clients very often want to reflect the area and the region.
Right.
It's all part of collaborating with our clients.
And a lot of times it's really raising the bar also. I mean, we're starting with a pretty amazing palette, as you see it, and you can see that in Custer, and you can see it in Rapid City and most of the Black Hills. So as we like to joke around, like, we're sort of raising the bar between each other, like being competitive in that positive way. The beautiful thing about architecture is that it actually helps define the city, the community. Like, the first thing when you drive in, you're going to see the buildings. So it has such a strong implication, such a physical implication on what you perceive the city to be.
Let's talk about reclamation. That was the theme of Design in the Hills. Christine, do you want to tell me what reclamation means to an outsider?
It's taking a physical structure, a facility. In this case, it was Homestake Gold Mine, and repurposing it so that it continues to be used. And The theme was kind of loose. I don't know how it worked in with sculpture, although Dale Lamphere did a sculpture where he reclaimed a major piece of a underground structure, so everybody needs to go see the visitor center and the great sculpture.
So what did you...
It was the reclamation of, you know, hearing the Sanford lab people tell us about how they're using the mine, the existing mine structures, the underground structures, as well as the above ground structures. So that's how the theme.
Plus the reclamation of the community in the large sense. The whole idea of the community lost this long-standing gold mine, and now they're transferring themselves, and they're transforming themselves and their entire branding of their community. It's part of that reclamation.
It's and sort of taking it back, right? Like the big open cut is this like huge, like essentially crater in the center of the what used to be their downtown. So they're taking it back after the glory years of the gold and like all of that coming down. We also toured the Homestake Opera House, which is mind blowing after the big fire, everything that has been able to be reconstructed. And it's again the community taking that pride back and like taking the building that was down to a shell. Back into its glory.
Reclaiming it and renovating it.
Yeah.
Patrie, what's the potential of that kind of transformation for community, and how does architecture sort of play into that transformation?
I think it goes back to what we were talking about before. Like it's that sense of place. It's really the identity of it. And for the city to be able to feel ownership over these different things that are happening to the city of Lead. And I think you can see that pretty clearly in the center of Rapid City and our downtown as well, with things like Main Street Square, you know, starting to create the center of town, and then like going into the old Rapid City High School with a performing arts center, that beautiful theater essentially like reclaim, repurpose, like, and that essentially like led to the recreation of like the community theater. Like, I mean, now they have a home and it's such a strong thing. And even taking some of those old buildings like Murphy's on one side of the downtown and the garage on the other side of the downtown, starting to bookend and really expand things more. So I think to me it's such a physical thing when like architecture helps shape the identity. And we were also talking about good architecture and bad architecture. A lot of times you don't see the good one, but you really notice the bad one.
Give me like some fundamentals of bad architecture, Gene, without shaming anybody individually. What when you look at something, you're like, oh, that's bad architecture. What are some of the things that make you cringe?
Well, many times I would think it's you can quickly see that there has not been a design professional involved with the project. I mean, it's just very evident, and they tend to be projects that struggle in getting their building permits and things like that, because they're shelter, just pure and simple economic shelter. I've always thought that the well-designed places are well-received, and they become destinations and focal points of communities, and those places that people tend to avoid, that's the start of bad architecture.
Oh, and it's funny because it's sometimes as simple as you not being able to hear the person across from you when you're having lunch at a restaurant, or you not being able to find the exit to a parking lot. Like that is bad design that really affects the way the users experience the space. And I think it's pretty common to go like, oh, you know, like just getting in and out of that parking lot is a problem, or the acoustics and the lighting. So sometimes it's just a lot more simple than the major architecture itself.
So the impact could be really economically felt pretty quickly. A project could not bring in people because of some design flaws.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that can happen.
Is that hard to translate to a client, how important a good design team is?
I think most people, they're putting quite an investment into their facility, and they're open to good ideas as a rule, and that's one of the things. If somebody's going to buy an old building downtown and they're going to repurpose it, number one, that it's in their heart to repurpose that building, so they're going to try to do the right thing. So as a rule, they will come to a design professional and get guidance on how to do that and how to do it economically.
I think it's pretty easy nowadays because we have so many successful projects in the Black Hills that it's easy to point at a building that is well done and what that has done to the specific business also.
Right.
Now, Patrie, I have to say my favorite question of the day actually came from you when you said, what's the craziest thing you're working on? And I'm just going to have to steal that to ask guests in the future on Dakota Midday. So does anybody want to share what's the craziest thing that you're working on or something really innovative that you would like to work on? Christine?
Oh, boy, you put me on the spot.
I just jumped right without warning you. We can chit chat while you think about it. I'm just kidding. What inspires you to go to the next level of innovation and beautiful design?
Well,
beautiful and functional
working,
design.
Working with a client who wants to go there. Mm-hmm. That's the best part, is working with a client, collaborating with other professionals, kind of guiding the big picture.
So it comes from people in the end.
Yeah.
It's that human-to-human content.
Yeah, and we take our clues from the client, and they have a great idea. You know, we can explore that and coordinate the team and get mm-hmm. other design professionals involved that maybe the client didn't know they needed.
Sure.
So we work together.
Christine Bjerke is a founding member of Design in the Hills, principal architect with Architecture Incorporated. Christine, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Patria Acevedo is a principal of ACV2 Architecture, vice president of AIA South Dakota. Patria, thank you as well.
Thanks.
And Gene Fennell, thanks for being here. He is the principal and founder of Fennell Design in Custer and the president of AIA South Dakota. Gene, thanks a lot.
Thank you.